Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, the conclusion to episode 203. This is part two, Wake Up. Today is Sunday, July 17th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages. Doors, I am, says I will. Wake up, melt me, fight on. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Now, how do you wake someone up? By shocking them. Let me tell you, when I got done, he was thoroughly awake. Right in the middle of what you're saying, you're talking to someone else, and they didn't even hear you. They'll say, amen, amen to that, amen to that, amen, hallelujah, amen, amen, huh? Have you ever been around somebody like that? They're really not awake. They're not with it. And how many Christians are not with it? Now, I think I should mention this too. A person too who is asleep may have taken care before he went to sleep to prevent anybody coming to wake him up. Take the phone off of the hook. Maybe insulate the walls a little heavier so they can't hear the children. Pull the blinds down. Become weird, a recluse. Walk around in long, tattered house robes all day long. Why? To prevent someone from coming in and disturbing their sleep. And I think also then there are ways of bolting our hearts and our heart's door to anybody. Sort of spiritual blinders and spiritual earplugs and soundproof rooms. I know a person that goes out and evangelizes. And the person that goes out and sets up the job, and a lot of them do this, when they hear bad things that come forth, or they've been in a city or something, their managers never tell them the bad stuff. Oh, we never tell so-and-so the bad stuff. We tell them all the encouraging things that have happened. I said, man, I wish I was in that kind of a thing. I hear all the bad things. I never hear any of the good things. But I see that's the test of my loyalty. If I can stand during all those bad times. Or maybe if you get into a doctrinal hang-up, some of these doctrinal guards can keep you from coming into to the house of Christ. And then we have those that set themselves up as having all the truth. You ever been around someone like that? They have all the truth. Like they have Jesus right there in the closet or something. I mean, no, you can't have all the truth. They say that in the court of law. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but. So help you God, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Well, God would have to help them because they couldn't tell the whole truth anyway. Say amen, somebody. But anyway, this sleepiness in the Christian is exceedingly dangerous too. See, because he can do a whole lot that makes him look awake. And you'll give them jobs to do and you'll think they're awake and they're asleep. I remember being down here and a famous evangelist came into town. He had trusted in the Christians to set this whole great big thing up for him. And they went as far as renting out the auditorium. But they never got no flyers together. They put it on the radio and this was about 10 years ago. And I learned a lesson there. And they sent no flyers out. They got on the radio about a day before he came. And they were only on one station. Now he learned something, didn't he? People and Christians especially were asleep. Well, didn't you send out this and didn't you do that? And didn't you get posters? Didn't you go to the churches? And didn't you get on the radio? Didn't you get some TV time? What have you been doing? I thought they were taking care of it over here, and so-and-so was over there. They normally do this, you know, and so-and-so. How many know you can't trust all these people? You if you're a boss of something, you have to make sure it's done. Now, you're running printing presses. You put somebody in charge, you just, rest assured, it's out there. No, you go in to check to see if that job is done, right? And it's the same way with us preachers. Are you hearing this, preacher? Make sure the job is done. Wake your people up. But also, for instance, some people talk in their sleep. And so I think a lot of Christians talk on and on and on and on and on. When they're all done, you say, God, what did they say? They didn't even make sense. You ever talk to somebody when they're in their sleep? Do they make sense? Do their works make sense? I remember my sister took all the blankets off our bed. Or off my bed, took all the blankets off, threw them in the bathtub, and turned the water on. And I woke up and I thought, now what? She'd walk in it. And my brother Dave, he always walked in his sleep. But this one time she walked in her sleep. What a weird thing she did. Took all the covers off, put them in the bathtub, turned the water on them, and I sit up in bed and I said, no, I'm just going to see how far this goes. And I'm snickering, you know, I was at that age. She was sleeping. Come back with the wet covers, let me tell you, I wasn't sleeping. As I laid down, see, I heard the water going and all that. And I just laid down and then I went to sleep. See, but the sleeping saint came in and woke up another sleeping saint. The wet blanket act on me. And we do a lot of things that make just as much sense, don't we? Have you ever been around someone? And they'll talk to you and they'll act like they're awake and everything like that. And they'll talk on and on and on and on. And you get done, you say, you know something? That person is really confused. Why are they confused? They are asleep. Let me tell you, down here on the north side, I don't sleep and I don't slumber. You people that are down here either, you don't sleep and you don't slumber either. There's too much action going on. You want to stay awake, there's a whole lot of things you can do in Christ that'll keep you awake. Let me tell you something, say amen, somebody. But they talk on and on and on and they really are sleeping. Some pray in their sleep. Ever heard a person that's praying in their sleep? And some are eating dinner, and they say these 15-minute prayers. And then, Lord, there's a cousin. There's a cousin up in the Appalachian Mountains. You know where that's at, Lord? Of course the Lord knows where that is. You know where that's at? I don't have to remind you where the Appalachian Mountains is. And all them people need help up there. Lord, Lord. And you know what? And you almost have to stop the person. And I've done this. You almost have to say, excuse me. Excuse me, sir. Hey! They put themselves to sleep and they keep talking. Hey, wake up! Dinner's getting cold. What? Have you ever been around someone that has them long, monotonous prayers that don't mean anything because they're asleep? And they drone on and on and on with a repetitious prayer. It's almost like a chant. Da 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 da. They are asleep, I tell you. And you can tell they're asleep because they are so repetitious. And they drone on and on and on, the same old prayer, year in and year out. He used to go to the church, and the guy would get up, and he'd say, anybody got a testimony? And this guy had been saved for like 50 years. And you could count on him getting up. Praise the Lord! And I was there about 4 years, so I've been saved 46 years now, and I love the Lord, all 46 of them. And then he'd sit down. Then the next year, the whole year went by. Praise the Lord, I've been saved for 47 years now. And then 48 years, and 49 years, and then 50 years. The man was asleep all in 50 years. Had the same testimony year after year after year, but he never did anything. Like, now this guy is asleep. And it was like people would grit their teeth when he'd get up. They'd say, oh, no. It's like your parents when they tell you, oh, you never had it like we did, man. I come over on the boat and we did. You know how parents are. They always tell their kids how they had it so much. Yeah, and my mom, well, boy, when they said something, we jumped. Yeah, you jumped and you went outside and you goofed off the same way your kid does. You were just a little more slyer. Because they were a little bit meaner back in them days. Ooh. How many are hearing this? And sort of a sudden noise startles them. Like, feed the poor! Oh, their mouth says words, but their heart is not awake enough to drink in the true spirit of thanksgiving. And so you see, it is hard for a man to know. He's in this state since he can talk when he's asleep, even like other people do. See, looks can be so deceiving. Can't they? How encouraging to a choir leader when he has a whole bunch of people standing up there and they're all asleep. And oh, what is more wonderful, some people can walk in their sleep. Even dangerous places, where dangerous where angels fear to tread. My brother would get up, and we lived right downtown. And he'd get up, and he'd walk down the hall, and he'd walk down this whole great big steep fire escape. Trudge, 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 trudge. And he'd walk, traffic, I mean, it didn't matter. He'd walk right out there, and beep, honk, honk, beep, beep, honk, honk. He always put on his trousers. Nothing else. His trousers. and he'd button up and he'd zip up, but that's all he had on was his trousers. Beep, honk, honk, screech, and he'd go all the way around the block, and he had a route. He'd go around the block and go around a second time, come down the alley, go back up the fire escape, come in and go to bed. Now, isn't that kind of weird? You'd swear he was awake. He'd look at the beeping horns. He might even go. And come back and not remember a thing. And that's the same way with us. We can just be walking in our sleeps and not remember a thing. Walk right in through all the traffic that's going on. Walk right into all these different things that are happening. See but not see. Hear but not hear. Feel but not feel. But you never knew what to expect out of him. One night he woke up. He was a Marine. Well, this was after he came back out of the Marines. He was a pretty good-sized guy. And he woke up and he had this real weird look on his face. And I just sort of looked at him and I says, Dave, are you awake? And all of a sudden, he hauled off and he hit me in the face. I mean, in the face. Now, you see these cowboy movies and all this where they hit for 10 minutes at a time. Let me tell you something. When a good-sized man hits you right square in the face, it is all over. Well, it was for me. Did he remember that he hit me in the face? I want to tell you why he remembered that he hit me in the face, because I hit him in the face back again, all right? But you know what? He asked me, why did you hit me? Never would believe that I hit him because he hit me first. And isn't that the way in Christianity? We can poke at people and we can hit at people, but when we get hit back again, what'd you hit me for? I didn't do nothing. Let me tell you, radio audience, there's a whole lot of you that need a poke in the face. You're listening, right? Said it and I'm glad. It's the truth. How many are hearing this? We didn't do anything. That's your problem. How many know it? People are so startled after they do all this in their sleep, they got to be asleep to do some of these hellish things, right? And then when they get poked back in the face, what in the world got into them? Why did you hit me? Why are you hitting on me? I didn't do nothing. Well, everybody's seen you. Traffic saw you walking towards that thing. Buses saw you. Busloads of people. People put their heads out a window that were on the night shift. They all saw you. I don't believe it. I claim it not to be so. Well, I mean, I've got to get this across somehow. Walking in their sleep, and they have a sort of a sleepy smile on their face, and a sort of a look like, don't bother me, I'm sleeping look. And you know what? They even have a sort of a kind of a security, which more wakefulness would remove from them. They do things when they're in this spiritual sleepwalk, and they get by with it because they're in a sleepwalk. They even feel more secure doing it. They put themselves in sort of a spiritual, foggy sleep, and they do all these things, and they feel secure doing them because they're not really awake. And so they figure they can get by with it. Well, I was asleep. Look, you stuck a knife in my back. I'm sorry. I must have been sleepwalking. I mean, I must have been. Yeah, you were active, though. There's four or five puncture marks here. Some even play with the world. And then some of them are good moral people, praise the Lord, in men's judgment. But nevertheless, as Christians, you do not seem to be awake. You're not awake to the interest of the kingdom of God. How about the will of God? A sort of a Alice in Wonderland Christian. Oh, I'm off to seek the kingdom. Oh, the wonderful kingdom of self. Of self, of self, of self, of self, of self. Oh, the wonderful kingdom of self, of self. The wonderful kingdom of self, of self. Now, there's a whole crowd of them there singing. And so you see, a man can talk in his sleep. He can walk in his sleep. And there is another thing, praise the Lord, listen to it. He can do better than other people do, dream in his sleep. He's a man that cooks up ideas. A dreamer talking about when spring arrives. Full of ideas, talking and talking and talking about doing all sorts of things, and yet he is asleep all the while. See, because the waking man does things. He doesn't talk about them. Now, a talker is a sleeper. See, because awake man, a man that's awake, proves he's awake by doing it, actually functioning. But then we have the slumbering man that only calculates. You ever been around somebody like that? Oh, let's see. If I save $20 a week, that's $80 a month, that's $1,040 in a year. In 10 years, think about it. We could buy the thing. They're dreamers. Whew. Guy called me. This was about 3 years ago. He said, Pastor Paul, I have an idea. And I thought, well, put some legs on that baby. You know what I mean? I have an idea. Now, he's given me several ideas. That's why I said that, okay? Now, this is the way I think. I'm letting you in on my thoughts, all right? I thought to myself, oh, man, here we go again. I thought, put some legs on these ideas. Yes, 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 I said in my phoniness. Yes, let's hear it. Praise the Lord. You mean you actually are phony? Well, I didn't want to be rude, all right? And I thought, actually, someday he may even wake up and put legs on his dreams. And so I said, yeah, well, let's have it. I am going to call every warehouse that has shoes, I'm going to say, we need shoes. And I said, boy, that sounds good. Now I'm going to call every warehouse that has clothing, I'm going to say, we need clothing. I said, well, that sounds wonderful. And I'm going to call every warehouse that has cooking utensils and refrigerators and stoves and all of this stuff, warehouses, wherever they're at, and say, I know that somewhere in some corner of that building you've got a whole lot of crates that are full of stuff you can't sell. And we would like you to donate it to the poor. What do you think of that? Well, I said, sounds like it's real good, but I was thinking this poor guy is talking in his sleep. And as soon as I hang up, he'll forget everything that he said and go right back to slumber. And he'll sort of a semi-wake up again. Another idea will come to his brain. And he'll be on the phone to some other pastor or some other person. And back to sleep again. Never quite wakes up to actually put legs on his dreams and get them gone. Now we all dream. As young men, we all dream, don't we? Don't we all daydream? Every time I went to a movie, I'd dream. If I had seen Mickey Rooney, he was driving one of these race cars, I would be in there. Mickey Rooney would be gone. I'd be in that race car. He'd be the pit man if he was lucky. hearing this, or if there was an airplane up there, I'd get Spitfires. All right, man, your airplanes. And there'd be Earl Flynn running out there. My head would be on his body. My scarf would be flying out. Huh? At the controls. Diving down because my true love had left me. Dreams. Hello, Joe. No, Joe, don't do it. Boom! Huh? No, isn't that what a dreamer is? He has all he did. And what people think, oh, God, he died for his country. What a wonderful guy. What a wonderful preacher. Preacher Paul, he died for the North Side. Oh, my God. Oh, he's just a what? They don't think nothing like that. They say, where are you going to go eat? Oh, let's go to McDonald's and have a burger. Come on, let's get realistic here. Too much realism for you guys on the radio? Oh, you can always run a mission better than anybody else. How much advice you have to take when you do something? That advice isn't good. But I want to have somebody that's working right alongside of me give me advice. Not some sleeper. You're sleeping. I want someone that can give me something I can understand. I can understand what they're saying when they're working with me. And other than that, I don't understand what they're saying at all because they're asleep. But they know how to teach Sunday school better or preach better or run a church or run a business or raise kids. And usually the ones that have no children or just a baby. Just a little baby about this big, see? Oh, this big. They are the experts at raising families. Now, to that I'll say to you on the radio, your time is a-coming. But they're all experts, but they're all sleepers. Because the man's whole activity shows itself in inventions, which are never executed. You ever seen somebody that always invents something and never puts it into action? And in plans, let's say, which are never carried out. Now, some of you guys tell your mate that you're, well, we'll knock a hole in this wall here, see? And we'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll wipe out the second floor, and we'll put a loft over there, and a railing going down, and this, and that, and so on, and it's all talk. It's all talk. Some of you gals that are listening, it's all talk. You're sleepers. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up. Now, let's see. I'm going to write a list for myself. Okay, a list. I'm going to get out of bed, bounce up, bounce right out of the rat. Bounce out of bed, and then I'm going to do this. I'm going to defrost the refrigerator. I'm going to put this in the context as the same way Christians do, all right, in the church. I'm going to defrost the refrigerator, so right away I'll pull the plug on that baby. And then I'm going to go in, and I'm going to clean the bathtub and the toilet and the walls. They got this lime deposit, and I got this lime stuff. I'm all set for action. House, you have had it. And then I'm going to do this and 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 this and this and this. And I have end dust, and I have lemon pledge, and I have all the good stuff. You're going to get it, house! And the next morning, the only thing that gets dusted is from the rags of this dirty old housecoat as she wanders through the house and sits down and starts looking at the tube. Now, isn't that sad? That house never took you seriously, and the house of God doesn't take you seriously either. All talk, all dreaming, all sleepers. Woo! Hey. Somebody just woke up on the radio right there. I felt it. Vibrations coming through the radio. Oh, wow, there's another one. But they're all experts. But see, they're all inventions that are never carried out. They talk in megabucks. I had a guy come in here and he talks in mega dollars, millions of dollars. And I looked down, he had holes in his socks. Huh? Mega box. Well, I have a million. I said, how much do you think that? Oh, a million or so. Go over to his house, and there's a hole in the roof, and there's several buckets all around the house over there. Drip, drip. The faucet keeps dripping, and it won't stop, and so on. Rags for underwear. I mean, this guy was a mess. Ring around the collar, and he had two tires, and every 36 and a half hours, he had to run to the gas station and put air in them. I heard somebody say, ouch on that one. Why don't you fix them? Why don't you buy some new tires or something? And they speculate about next year's business. And you get stuck with the check at the cafe. There's one guy, man, he's got all these things, and they leave you with $20 lighter than when you went into the cafe with him. And then he has a toothpick hanging out. There's a lot of them like that. A lot of Christians like that. They got a toothpick hanging out of their mouth and a satisfied burp, and they say something like this. Hey, you didn't have to do that. Hey! I mean, I had to do it. You were in the restroom. You excuse yourself. You had something you left back in the booth. Your glasses again. I don't say that. But don't be too hard on them. They are really asleep. They are dreamers. I think we ought to sing to them once in a while, though, sort of aggravate them. Have you ever seen a dream walking? Well, I have. And then four or five Christians all together sing it. Have you ever seen a dream all walking? Well, we have. And there it is. Ah, there it is, the dream walking. Well, we have. I'm going to sing that to a couple Christians that I know that come in here and speculate about all these millions and thousands and mega bucks that are going to come into this church, and oh, God is going to fill up the balcony, and they prophesy over everything, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and dollar bills and tens and thousands are going to come. They're going to come rushing to the doors. They're going to be weeping and crying and throwing their money in. Have you ever seen a dream walking? Well, I have. Ooh, huh? And just walk away from them. Walk away! Not that I don't wish some of those dreams would come true, but I want the person that's facing me to be fully awake. And the only way that I'll know that they are awake if there's evidences of life in their own life. Well, even sometimes I think it's dangerous because people do dream good things. And they get carried out by some practical person while they're asleep. Well, I thought of that first. Yeah, you thought of it. You told it. And you exercised enough faith to tell it. Then you went back to sleep, don't you see? You didn't do it. I mean, you walked around. You went to work and everything, but you went to sleep on that idea. You never carried it out. But I think the very worst of this thing is, and I'll wrap it up here, is when these sleeping people get into a nice, comfortable position in the Christian church. They're an usher, or they're this, or that. Praise God for our board. We got a wonderful board here. Yep. Because sometimes, see, people can be a terrible hindrance, but they're comfortable where they're at. They're the last people in the world to get out, because as sleepy as they are, they know also when the bed is soft and warm. Well, I heard you say that. Now, how about sleeping ministers? Oh, we'll get to that. Yeah, I know some sleeping ministers. They're preaching these, claim messages to other sleepy dreamers. Well, you see how you do it. Is you just claim it. And then these people all wake up. Claim it? Claim it. All you got to do is claim it. Claim it? Claim it. All you got to do is claim it. Claim it, brother, claim it. Claim it, claim it, claim it. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, claim it, claim it, claim it. By faith we claim it. Like this, yes, by faith we claim it. We do, we do, we do, we do, we do. Hogwash. Claim all you want to. It ain't going to happen till you get up. Till you stop dreaming, till you get up, you're sleeping. Do you know how many claiming ministries the people in there are asleep? We have Jesus as a partner. Oh, and they use that to death. And all these companies. No wonder the world makes fun. The only reason they got Jesus in there as a partner is because they feel that they can get something out of it. Isn't that sad? See, the whole gospel message is the gospel of give. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God, Jesus Christ, gave his life so that we would gain our lives, and all we do is minister the gospel again. Are you saying that's not of God? Exactly. It is exactly, positively not of God. Period. You give your life to gain your life. You don't gain more wealth for your flesh. Whew. That's kind of heavy, ain't it? But you know what? Everybody listening on that radio, I don't even care if you're into it, you know it's the truth. Why don't you get set free? It says, receive the truth and the truth will set you free. Isn't that the way it is? Oh, it's a whole bunch of little sleeping, dreaming parrots. Claim it, claim it, claim it, claim it, claim it, claim it, huh? I mean, that's sickening, isn't it? They ought to pull the Three Stooges on them, how they slap four faces at a time. Wake up! Funk! Bam! I mean, that's the way I feel about it. I feel that way because there's so much going on and there's so much to do and everybody's into all this sleepwalking and sleep-talking and daydreaming. Brother, can I talk to you for a moment? No! Wake up! What a curse they are, the sleeping minister. Now maybe some of you listening are offended. A little aroused, almost awake. Good. Wake up all the way. Find your shoes and get into the walk. It's funny, but the ones who need this message the most will be the ones who will fold their arms, slide down in their seats saying, all is well with me. I have peace about it. Isn't it funny how we as Christians sometimes can just do some things and say, I have peace on it. You know when you have peace? I don't care what traumatic things went on in your life that day. When you go to sleep, you're at peace. And if spiritually speaking can put ourselves to sleep, while we're walking, while we're talking, while we're dreaming, while we're in the way, look like we're awake, and do some of those things and have peace on it, we're really asleep. Heavy. Don't you see how deceptive this evil is? Well, what is the evil itself, someone says? Well, it's hard to describe. But perhaps you have felt it. And certainly I know you have seen it. It is an unconscious and an unconsciousness of one's own state. And he thinks, well, I'm good enough. He doesn't like heavy messages. He doesn't want his sleep disturbed. A little more rest and a little more slumbering and so on, and I'll finally wake up. A little sleep and a little slumber. Because the man that is asleep could care less about his neighbors. How can he care at all? He's asleep. And oh, some of you Christians, do you not care whether souls are saved or damned? They don't care. I'll tell you the truth, there's a lot of us that really don't care. If souls are damned, they don't give a damn if souls are damned. All that matters is if they are comfortable. And they're smacking their lips. You ever notice when you shake someone when they're sleeping, they'll smack their lips and kind of and get more comfortable? No, you'll go to you're comfortable. You'll go to a respectable place of worship, something that befits your dignity, where you can come in and you can go out, where your sleep will never be disturbed. I probably preach in some of them places only one time. And all I'd have to do is use this horn on one of them sleepers just one time. I mean, somebody that was fully awake, their eyes and everything, just use this horn one time. It'd be the last time I'd ever preach there. Can you imagine using that thing out in the suburbs? I did. You know what I used to have? I had a boat horn. You know how loud they are? No, but no challenge is put forth. And you can just go through your life and go to heaven. And that type of person is indifferent about all else. Because the increase of darkness is in our country. The increase of poverty, oh, and it's going to double. God has put it on my heart to double what we're doing right now, and I'm tooling up for it even now. Increase in poverty. That doesn't seem to concern most of the Christians at all. Or even their sleeping, dreaming ministers. I tell you, sleeping saints listening to me, many of you could care less whether people go to heaven or hell, whether they are hungry or full, whether they have a house or don't have a house, you really don't care. You are so insensitive to the needs of people. And you seem to be perfectly immobile and immovable by all appeals. I mean, the best argument is lost to a sleeping man. I might convince people if they were awake, but what can we do with folks that are slumbering? They profess to be servants of Jesus Christ, and yet they do not serve Him. They serve themselves. They serve their pride. Oh, I am a prophet. I have the word of knowledge. I have the gift of discernment. Well, you don't even discern the times. You're sleeping. And so you see that many a Christian enterprise has no assistance from the professed believers because, and only because, they sleep. They might help it, and they ought to help it, but they do not help it. They profess to be servants of Jesus Christ, but they do not serve Him because they are indifferent, don't you see? And because they are sleepers, sleeping people don't care. And then this slumbering spirit spreads itself over everything else. The slumbering Christian does not enjoy the word. If he reads it, it seems meaningless. If he hears it, he thinks the preacher doesn't preach it as he used to do. And when he sings with others, his heart isn't in it. His praise is sort of laid back because you see he's sleeping all the time. Are you hearing it? And in prayer meetings, he wanders in and out and in and out and in and out. No wrestling in prayer with the angel of mercy. Prayer closet is full of cobwebs. And as for his own heart, he hasn't inspected it in a good long time. It's funny, but if you'll inspect your heart, and you'll judge different things that you do, you won't be judged. You'll see me do that right from the pulpit. I mean, I'm not professing to be anything other than saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Sinner saved by grace. Oh, and you can tell them sleeping churches by the way they drawl out their protracted prayers, meaningless songs. And you know what happens with these people? They get unhappy. It's like a sleeping child. Isn't Luke unhappy, Debbie, when you wake him up? He's sleeping and you're someplace and you wake him up and you put him up and you try to wake up. I mean, I'm just using him, but there's all kinds of kids. You gotta wake, you wake up, you get him in the, get him up out of their sleep. Now just hold your leg up there. I want to get these shoes on you. And they twist their foot 40 different ways. And then you try to get their pants on them. And they flip-flop and go all over the place in their sleep. You can't even help them. And finally, you have to give them a swat to wake them up. Sometimes you have to give people a swat to wake them up so you can help them. Because see, we can be sleeping. We can learn so much from a little kid because you know why? We're the same way ourselves. We're only a little bit taller. These are little folks and we're big folks. Shouldn't the servants of Jesus Christ be wide awake? What would you do if you had a servant and he was asleep all the time? And he's supposed to be on duty. Would you keep him on?
That was the conclusion to episode 203, Wake Up. Be sure to listen every Friday for part one and Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday, join us for Melt Me. Have a great week.
You may be rich, child. America.